here in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John had been arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin because of the Lord having healed a lame man. They wanted to know by whose name. You see that in verse 7? When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now, had Peter desired to get off the hook, which I don't believe God would have even let him, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, you're going to declare the name of Christ. But he could have said unto them, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jehovah, whom ye worship, or profess to worship, this man stands whole. But it's that name of Jesus Christ and of Nazareth. So that is speaking of him specifically come in the flesh. Not just God. You hear people addressing in their invocations, God. But no, the name Jesus Christ. And he goes on, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see how that connects back there with Joshua? Moses, representing the law, could not bring that people into that promised rest. It had to be Joshua. And as a type, the Lord Jesus. There's no salvation apart from him, apart from his work, apart from his doing and dying, and apart from being chosen and him being our representative. And here in verse 22, the Lord speaks to the condition of his people. God never judges just randomly. But there's reason. He says, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Here when he says, my people are foolish, he's speaking that of the people of Judah, that he had, the national people that he had set apart to himself, and yet he describes them here as being foolish, and that's accurately diagnosing the problem. That's all of us by nature. But here, especially in their lack of knowledge of the true and living God, they had a notion as to who he is, and yet here, as that people that he had set apart, national Israel, and preserved to this point, he says they are sottish children. That's an old English word that means silly. It's like kids playing in imminent danger, and they have no understanding. It's pretty evident that the people of Judah didn't see themselves as silly children and without understanding, like people today in religion. They would take and apply this to somebody else. And yet, because why? People see themselves as wise in their own eyes. But here he says, they have not understanding, not of the true God. People think they know God. They think that they're worshiping him, but God must be revealed. Here it says, they're wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Wise to do evil. Here they have a pretended wisdom, a profession, and yet not according to the truth. They were indeed wise, but in the ways of evil. And when it came to doing good, they had no knowledge. And that, again, describes any one of us until it pleases God by his grace to reveal Christ in us. But the kingdom, you see, this is again, what Christ is describing, this kingdom on earth, it says it shall stand forever. And it is. It's still going on today. Christ's kingdom, it doesn't come with observation. You look around and think, boy, things are getting worse. But Christ reigns now. And as his gospel goes forth, he's calling out to himself everyone for whom he laid down his life and paid their sin debt. And nobody can stop that. And that's the durability of the stone. The nature of what we saw has to do with Christ. The durability here is that it knows no decay and it's never in danger of destruction. Everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be right now. And there's not going to be any other succession or revolution to come and overthrow Christ's kingdom. It can't be destroyed by any foreign force invading it. Many kingdoms have. They were destroyed by fire and sword. Desolation is where the kingdoms before. There's no power on earth or hell that could ever cause this kingdom to be destroyed. Christ is the king. Christ is the monarch. And his kingdom is indeed established. Kingdom of Christ. It was set up in his first coming. That's what I want us to see here. We're not waiting in any way for this kingdom yet to come in the future. It's already begun. Yes, there is that eternal kingdom we await, but right now Christ reigns.